We've already gone through chapter 1, God Almighty. The seven churches, the throne of God, of course, chapter 4 and 5, the seven seals, chapter 6. Chapter 7, the 144,000 witnesses. Chapter 8, the seven trumpets. The first wall of locusts, the small book open. And chapter 11, the two witnesses. And so as we come to chapter 12, Israel is going to be persecuted. Satan hates Israel. Hates Israel. As much as he hated Adam and Eve, he hates Israel. And the reason for this is because the Messiah is going to come through Israel. Satan hates God because he wanted to be part of the Godhead. And of course, there's only three, and Satan was not there. So Israel is going to be persecuted, and the way that Israel is going to be portrayed is as a woman. So we're going to be in the air in this area right here. We're going to have the last woe, which is Satan cast down from the earth in just a few moments. But for right now, we see that this is going to take place right up in this area. It's going to be in heaven. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now, this is Israel. This is talking about Israel, describes it very, very carefully. And the moon under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. The 12 stars are, the 12 children of Israel, or the 12 tribes of Israel. And she being with child, that child is the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan tried to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ by killing the males under 2 years old. Of course, it wasn't God's will, and so Jesus Christ was not killed. Travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. This is Satan, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. We're going to look at these crowns when we get into another chapter. But notice the power that he has. He hates the woman, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. When Satan fell, he took one-third of the angels with him. You read in Jude, and it says those angels are being kept in prison until the times of the end. We've already seen them come forth out of the abyss with Apollyon and Abaddon leading them. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan wants to kill Jesus Christ when he's a baby, so he will not be the Savior of the world. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be no other because no other sits on the throne of God. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, halfway through the tribulation, Satan is going to give a decree that 666, or the number of his name, or his name, be printed in the forehead or in the right hand of every person on the face of the earth. If you do not have that, you will be killed. Chapter 20 tells us that the motive of the death will be that you will have your head chopped off. We have a religion around today that likes to chop people's head off, don't we? But anyway, they're going to have their heads cut off. And so he says, Israel, I want you to run into the wilderness. This is what chapter 24 of Matthew and Luke chapter 21 is all about. When it says, don't come down from the housetop and go in the house, but just head for the mountains. Because Satan is coming with his armies to destroy you. This is halfway through the tribulation, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's God is going to take care of his children, Israel, and all those people that do not take the mark of the beast. Isn't it interesting? He says, I'm going to feed them. And now, I don't know for sure, but maybe he's going to give them manna. Maybe he's going to give them quail. I don't know how he's going to feed them, but they're going to be in the deserts and out in the fields and all over the place hiding from Satan. The three woes Satan cast to the earth. And there was war in heaven. You know, Michael and Satan have this thing going. Have you ever read about that? They don't like each other. If you look in the book of Daniel, you'll find out it took 21 days for an angel to carry a prayer from Daniel to heaven. Because he was buffeted in heaven. One time, Satan came to Daniel and started to talk to him and argue with him about the body of Moses. And Michael just looked at him and says, I'm not going to argue with you right now. Nope, your day's coming one of these days. And I think that Michael the archangel just can't wait to one of these days walk over and grab hold of Satan and just go, boom, and right on down to the earth. Kick him out of heaven. What's he doing there? He's accusing you and me day and night. What's he doing there? He's trying to hurt the Christians. He's trying to hurt God's children. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his fought and his angels and prevailed not. Of course, he's not going to win. He knows he's not going to win, but he's going to give it his best try. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So Satan's going to be cast out. Don't let this little picture here scare you. I had a little 5 or 6 year old come and say, I'm scared, mommy, I'm scared. So they took the child out and said, no, I want to go back in. I want to see it again. I want to see it again. So they brought her back in. You know, kids like to be scared, I guess. And the great dragon, notice what he says. The great dragon, that's exactly what he is. A dragon hurts, tears, rips, kills, and has no remorse, no feelings, no heart. was cast out. That old serpent, it was the serpent that came into the Garden of Eden when we saw Eve being deceived. Called the devil, that's the great deceiver that tried to deceive Jesus Christ and tries to deceive you and me. And Satan, that's his name that he wants to be called by, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. No longer, as it says in Job, that he can walk to and fro in the earth and going up and down in it and walk right before the throne of God to accuse the brethren. No longer can he do that. He's going to be earthbound now, and he will not have access once again to heaven. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Now, we've already seen it once when it said last night, now is come the king. Now the earth has become the kingdoms of God. God has claimed his earth. Now comes salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. God so far has been meek. Did you know that? You know what the word meek means? Who's the meekest person in the Bible? The Bible says so. Moses, the meekest person in the world. You know what the word meek means? It means that here I am, 205 pounds, and some little kid walks over, and he's 4 years old, and he kicks me right in the shin. Now, I can destroy him. I can drop kick him into the next county. But I'm going to restrain myself. I'm going to say, hold the phone right there. I'm not going to retaliate. I understand his age. That's what meek is. See, Christ was meek in that he could have destroyed the entire world, but he didn't because his love stood in the way. See, that's what meek is. And so it's the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. God will show his almighty power. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which causeth them before our accuses them before our God day and night. That's what he does constantly. He accuses. Every time you sin, he's up there in front of God accusing, accusing. And God is our great lawyer. He's our go-between. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The only way you can destroy Satan is by the blood of the Lamb. The only way you can make him flee is by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what we have. And by the word of their testimony, that's the word of God. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. What does woe mean? Judgment. Okay. And of the sea, for the devil is come down into you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's only got 42 months. He's going to try to destroy, to kill, to maim, to do anything to God's children he can. He's only got 42 months. He has to orchestrate this. He's going to try to destroy as many people as he possibly can. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That woman is Israel. He's going to persecute all Jews. He's going to go in and offer an ungodly sacrifice on the altar. He's going to erect a statue of himself as Satan there in that holy place. He'll desecrate the Holy of Holies. It's called in Daniel the abomination of desolation. It takes place halfway through the tribulation. And to the woman, this is Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. And so God says, I'm going to protect my people. He always has. Did you know that? He's always protected his remnant. He says, I'm going to let them go like the wind. They're going to run. They're going to go into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, singular, and times, plural, and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's 3.5 years. And so God says, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to watch over her. Satan's not going to have her as she runs into the wilderness. These are the people that will not take the mark of the beast. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. This is his armies. He sends them out. He wants to destroy her. So he sends the armies out to kill her, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. Now notice what happens to this army. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. As they run into the deserts, the earth opens up and the armies just fall into it. God stops them by any means possible, but they will not find his children. How many of you have heard that Petra is going to be one of the places that Israel is going to go to? Okay, first of all, Petra is not in the Bible. There is a place called Petra, and I think that's the first place Antichrist is going to look, or Satan's going to look, to tell you the truth, because everybody knows about it. And I know people have been hiding water there and hiding all kinds of things, food and so forth there, but God's going to take care of his people. We don't have to hide those things there. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, once again Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments. Now, there's 144,000 witnesses sealed of the tribe of each tribe of Israel. And Satan says, if I can't get those people running to the mountains, I'll get those witnesses that are left behind. I'll get those people that keep the commandments of God. Now notice, not only do they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, these are saved Jews. These people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Chapter 13 is a satanic government. Now, we're going to go a little bit slower. We'll get out about midnight tonight. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to go a little bit slower because chapter 13, you have to understand that it links with Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and we can't go through all of them. We will go through some verses in Daniel. As I was telling the pastor when I teach this in college, it's a two-semester course, and it's 3 hours or three credits each course because there's so much you have to cover when you cover prophecy, especially the book of the Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. This is on the earth now. And saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. This is the first time you see the word blasphemy in the book of the Revelation. Antichrist claims to be a Christian. Antichrist tries to deceive everyone by saying that he is a great man of God. He doesn't use the term blasphemy. But Satan will use the term blasphemy, and he'll use it over and over and over again. Notice, this is a creature that comes up out of the sea. I want you to notice now what animals are represented in this creature. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. Remember that leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Of course, the ten heads are going to be the 10 governments or the 10 areas of government that are set up. This is the government. Daniel explains this beast. We'll go through it now. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. The word terrible means huge, gigantic. It was great. This image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And so we have gold, silver, brass, iron, and then iron and clay mixed. Now, Daniel explains the beast. We have the empires mentioned in Daniel. We have the Egyptian empire and the Assyrian empire. Those are taken care of in the first 5 books of the Bible, or the books of Moses. When we come to Daniel, we have Babylon, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and Rome. He's going to allude to the small horn, which is Antichrist, which also will be the beast. And so there's going to be 7 different world domination powers or empires. 7 different ones. The head of gold is Babylon. The breast is silver. That's Medo-Persian. The belly thighs, that's brass, that's Greece. The legs of iron, that's Rome. The feet part clay and iron, that's today, because there's nobody controls the entire world. We're part iron and part clay. First world nations, second world nations, third world nations. And so therefore, the United Nations, it hasn't really done much of anything to bring everybody together. But what we're basically looking at are the empires. If you read Daniel chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, you'll see the ram, you'll see the goat. We can't go through all that right now, and how these empires come into being. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Now, we have all these empires. Thou sawest tell that a stone was cut out without hands. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's cut out without hands. Which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. That's exactly what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation time. Satan's government will be wiped out. Satan's going to pull from Babylon on down through the Medo-Persian and Grecian empire. He's going to pull things out of that for his government, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth, and it will for 1,000 years. And the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Now, Daniel's going to have a dream. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the 4 winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And here we have the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the dragon. The same is mentioned in the book of Revelation. They are the same. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar, the one who said, oh, I have built this great kingdom. Look at me. Look at all the things I have done. And God made him to eat grass for 7 years. And God gave an animal spirit to him for 7 years until finally he came to himself and came back to be the king. And then he said, I extol and praise and glorify and have joy in God Almighty. And so this is the lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. This is Nebuchadnezzar representing Babylon. That's the lion. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear. And it raised itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Those 3 ribs are what it controls. It controls Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. And this, of course, is going to be Cyrus and Darius of the Medo-Persian Empire. There's three chapters there in Daniel that explains all this and the war and so forth, the ram, the goat, and so forth. And we don't have time to go through all of it. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. This is the same as Revelation chapter 13, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. You remember, of course, Alexander the Great, who died at 33 years old. He wept because there was no other places to conquer. He controlled the then known world. He had four generals. And when he died, these four generals each claimed a part of his territory. And so we have Cassander, that's Macedonia. Thrace is Lysias. Cilicia is Asia and Assyria, and Ptolemy is Egypt. And so Alexander the Great, when he died, these four kings or these generals became kings of those different empires. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast. Now, this is the dragon. This represents the Roman Empire, the most brutal empire of them all, the most wicked empire of them all. They would think nothing of going into a village of 4, 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people and killing every single one in the village. It was nothing for them to kill babies. It was nothing for them to have mass murder. And so here it says, behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and he had great iron teeth. That's the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was always known as the one with iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It destroyed the other empires when it came into being. It not only destroyed them, it took all the royal families and all the generals' families and all the army's families and killed them, wiped them all out. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. You remember that the 10 horns of the Roman government, you remember that it was started actually as a democracy, as a federation, democracy, republic. And it had a Senate and a House. And then the Caesars took over and they said that now they are God, and they did away with the Senate. And then later on, when they started their demise, they started to falter or implode from within. Then suddenly they went back to the 10 kingdoms and the Germanic and Slavic tribes again right at the Reformation. And then they were destroyed. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. This is Antichrist, that little horn. Before whom they were the three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As we said in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. The Antichrist is going to be a great orator. He has no special powers. He doesn't do miracles. All those around him will do things. But he is a great orator. It says that there's a little horn coming out of that Roman Empire. A little horn that has the same ideals as that Roman Empire, and therefore the government of Satan will be based upon that. He's the Antichrist. That Antichrist is one that's going to be on the earth claiming that he's a Christian. He's going to be the finest. You want me to tell you who it is? How many of you want me to tell you who it is? Okay, nobody raised their hand. Okay, anyway, I have no idea who it is. If he's alive on the earth today, now some people say, well, he's got to be a German Jew. No, he doesn't. Well, he's got to be a Jew. No, he doesn't. Well, he's got to come from a certain country. No, he doesn't. If anything, the Bible once calls him the Assyrian. The Assyrian. Now, many times God calls somebody something because of their actions and not because they're actually that. That word Assyrian is in the abstract, which is very broad brush. And so it's not in the concrete. It's not that he is the Assyrian, but he has the actions. Now, is he an Assyrian? I have no idea. Don't know. But anyway, he's going to come to the earth, and the Bible says that he's going to rule and reign after that empire. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. This is going to be, of course, Antichrist has a deadly wound. He's going to almost die. This is when the nations attack, as far as those around Israel. We've already studied that last night. And Satan is going to be cast out of heaven. And guess who he's going to embody? He's going to embody the Antichrist. He will not die, and everyone's going to wonder. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The dragon, Satan, he's down on the earth now. He's on the earth. He's embodied. He's into Antichrist, or he's taking his position. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. That's the last part of the tribulation time. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Notice how many times the word blasphemy is used in relationship to Satan. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme excuse me, his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He's looking up into heaven. excuse me. And he's blaspheming God. The saints that are in heaven, he has a wish to kill every Jew on the face of the earth. He wants to hurt God. And was given unto him to make war with the saints. Notice over and over again. Have you noticed that? It was given unto him who gave it to him. And power was given unto him who gave him the power. We asked last night, why would God give Satan power to do these things? Why does he give Antichrist power to do these things? I have another question. Why did he give Pharaoh the power over Israel and his children? Why did he give Nebuchadnezzar the power? Why did he give the Assyrians the power to take them away into captivity, or the Babylonians? It's because it's working God's perfect will. Sometimes God says, you need the props knocked out from under you. I think I'll take your job away and let you just trust me for a little while. You know why they call it the Bible Belt down south? Because the farmers have to pray. There's no irrigation. And when you plant, you have to get on your knees and pray and say, oh, God, please send rain. Now, there's irrigation there now, but during the time it was the Bible Belt, they had to pray for it. Notice, he's going to have war with the saints to overcome them, and power was given him. Who gave him the power? It's God. Over all kindreds and tongues and nations, Satan is now on the earth. He's destroying, he's chasing Christians, he's chasing Jews who will not take the mark, he's chasing Gentiles that will not take the mark. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. See, that's what it's all about right there. We've been telling it ever since Sunday. It's all about who you worship. And worship is a verb. It's an action word. It's something that you do. Worshiping God is not sitting in the church. Sitting in the church and hearing the message is to prepare yourself to go out and do something for God. Because we worship him in word and in deed. That's how we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to glorify God, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's how you glorify God. You don't glorify God any other way. You don't glorify God by dressing right or looking right or reading your Bible or anything else. If you want to glorify God, John chapter 15 tells us, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. I'm going to plant a garden. Will that garden glorify me if it doesn't have any fruit whatsoever? No, I want to grab a tomato off there and say, look what I grew. See, that tomato is going to glorify me because I planted it. I worked with it. We're supposed to glorify God the same way. Now, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Notice, not written in the name of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We said that 139, Psalms 139, every time a person is born, their name is written down, description is written down. But when you die and without Christ, your name is blotted out. But the one that you want to be in is the Lamb's book of life. That's what this is, because the ones that's blaspheming and not worshiping Jesus, but are worshiping Satan, their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Don't use your sword. Don't try to fight Satan, he's telling them. Don't try to fight Satan's army. Do what God said and run to the hills. It'll take care of you. Everything's going to be fine. There'll be a McDonald's out there or a Walmart somewhere, and you'll be able to get what you need. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. God constantly tries to calm the people down. They've got this book, you know. They've got the Bible on the earth. People say, we're in the middle of the tribulation. Let's look it up. And they're looking it up. And here it says, herein is the patience of the saints. A lot of people are going to get saved during that time. A lot of people are going to accept Christ as Savior during that time. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, the first beast came out of the water, and that's the government. Now we have another beast coming, and this one's coming out of the earth. When one comes out of the water, it speaks of humanity. When one comes out of the earth, it's demon, or it's out of the abyss. It's out of hell. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Lamb doesn't have horns. He's actually an antichrist or Satan, and therefore he has the horns, but like a lamb, he tries to act like he's a Christian. And he spake as a dragon. So this shows that he's not Satan, but he's just like Satan. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Now I want you to notice something. And causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, that deadly wound of that antichrist is healed. Satan has embodied him. And now he stands up and all the world wonders after him. Because this is a mighty miracle that this man was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We're getting ready right now for Satan to do some miracles and the whole world follow him. Thanks to the charismatics. Now, if you're charismatic, I love you, but I don't like your doctrines and I don't like the religion. Don't like it at all. It's totally false. I have debated and debated and debated with everything from Church of God, Assemblies of God, Pentecostals, Pentecostal Holiness. I've debated all of them. And I tell you what, they don't have a leg to stand on. If you believe in healing, let's do it like Peter. Let's heal the entire city. They say, oh, well, Brother James, you have to have faith to be healed. Half the people in the Bible that were healed didn't even know who was healing them until afterwards. That's right. They didn't know it. They ask, well, who healed you? I don't know. A man came up and said, take up your bed and walk. I don't know who he is. And he was healed. He was just a little bit of lie thrown in. But what we're doing today in the world is people are going after sight rather than faith. And as soon as Antichrist comes and does a few miracles, what if Benny Hinn actually called fire down from heaven? Everybody on the earth. When I was in Romania, I went to Romania. I taught this to the pastors there in Romania. Had a large section of the country there that pastors came from. And I taught all this there and had an interpreter and so forth. And Benny Hinn, he's been to Romania. I mean, the people, not the pastors, they know better, but the people, Benny Hinn, miracles. When I was in Yugoslavia, Germany, the same thing. Benny Hinn. What if Benny Hinn actually healed somebody? If you watch 2020, you'll find out of 23 people that they followed that he healed, I think it was 16 of them died within the first 6 months of what he supposedly healed them from, and none of the others were healed. But as soon as we go by sight, we're in trouble because the Bible tells us to go by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so he's going to call fire down from heaven. Notice, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. They're going to see it. And he deceiveth them. There it is. He lies to them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. It's a war over who we're going to worship, who the people are going to worship during that time. Satan is doing miracles. Worship me. God is telling them, do not worship Satan, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Let's make an image of him. Let's put it in the Holy of Holies. Let's see this image stand. Let's see this image walk. And he had power to give life into the image of the beast. Some people say, you think it's a robot? No, he said life. Who gave him power? God Almighty. It says, and he had power to give unto the image of the beast, life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Notice who gives the death order. It's the image that gives the death order to kill anyone who will not take the mark of the beast found in 13:16 of Revelation. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now notice, first of all, there's a mark. Then there's the name, and then there's the number. There's three things that you could have placed in your hand or placed in your forehead. Isn't it funny that tattooing is so famous today? Worries me to death. These young kids get tattoos. They don't even know what they mean. Do you realize there are gang tattoos? Do you realize there are prison tattoos? I saw a girl one time with a tattoo on her leg, which was a prison tattoo. She has no idea what she's saying when she had that tattoo. I know a guy who had a tattoo put on his arm right here, which is of the Joe Boy gangs. Now, if you go to San Francisco with that tattoo and show it, you can be killed by a rival gang. And they don't even understand it. Oh, isn't that cute? A little dragon doing this. I think I'll have a tattoo of that. You ought to stay away from the tattoos, by the way. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Now, it may be bar scan. And you realize that bar scan starts with a 6. The middle is a 6 and the last is a 6. In all bar scans, it's interesting. License plate over in Jerusalem is 666. That designates Jerusalem. For it is the number of man and his number is 666 or 666. And so whether it's barcode, I don't know. It may be a tattoo. But anyway, people will get it willingly so they can buy and sell. And so now we have the satanic trinity. It's all set. We have Satan. We have the beast that came from out of the earth. That's his government. And we have the false prophet. They want to be like God Almighty and his trinity. Satan wants to be God. The beast wants to be Jesus Christ. And the false prophet wants to be the Holy Spirit. And of course, Abaddon or Apollyon will be their archangel, just like Michael is God's archangel. And so Satan now has built his government. He's built his trinity, and he's got 3.5 years to do as much as he can to harm God and to harm God's people. Chapter 14, the first thing he's going to do is kill all 144,000 witnesses. They're out there in the highways and the byways, and they're preaching. They'll be easy to find. Satan sends his armies out and says, all those Jews that are out there preaching, 144,000, go find them. When you find them, cut their heads off. Kill them, because they will not take the mark of the beast. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having their father's names written in their foreheads. This is in heaven. They're dead. They've had their heads cut off. Their souls have gone to heaven. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song. You know, it's interesting that in the Bible, certain people can sing certain songs and certain people can't sing those songs. And the 144,000 have a song, and Moses has a song, and the Jews have a song, the Gentiles have a song. And so here it says, as they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. We can't even know the words of it. That we'll hear it, but we won't be able to learn it. Only they can, as a decoration. You know, when you go off to war, you come back, you've got all kinds of decorations. These are going to have that song that they can sing because they are worthy. These are going to shine like lamps or lights forever. As it tells us in Daniel chapter 12. It says, which were redeemed from the earth. These are saved people. These are the ones who were on the earth. They were saved. God chose them because these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They never married. They got saved and went right out soul winning. These are which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. And so they were dedicated to doing exactly what God told them to do. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And so at that halfway point, they're going to be killed. They're the first fruits as far as the Jews going to heaven, and they are with God. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And the reason they're without fault is because they have accepted the blood of the Lamb, and they've been washed white. They've been made clean. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Now, who's going to witness on the earth? Who's going to bring forth the testimony of Jesus Christ? Who's going to tell people not to take the mark of the beast? In the last half of the tribulation, it's angels. Have you ever had somebody say, well, if an angel came and told me that, I'd believe it. You have an angel here. Who is he? His wife doesn't believe it, but he is. He is an angel. That's what the Bible tells us. Remember, we study that. He's an angel. He's held in the right hand of God. But all men that was witnessing are now hiding in the mountains. There'll be no more man on the earth witness. Witnessing that's come to an end. And so now angels are going to give forth the message, the gospel message. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven having an everlasting gospel. Notice the first thing he preaches, the everlasting gospel. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, every single person on the face of the earth. I don't know that they'll see the angels, but I know they're going to hear them. And it'll come echoing and booming out of the skies exactly what they should do. Another angel is going to come, but here, first of all, saying with a loud voice, here's what he says, fear God and give glory to him, because Satan's trying to get glory to himself. He's doing miracles and signs and wonders so people will worship him and follow him. And this angel says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made heavens and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Worship God. Don't worship Satan. Do not take that mark of the beast. And there followed another angel. This is angel number two, saying, Babylon is fallen. Don't fight for a losing cause. Don't take the mark of the beast. It's lost. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she had made all nations drink the wine of her wrath and fornication. Now the angels are preaching to the people, don't take the mark of the beast. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast. Now, if you do take that mark, do you realize that worship is a verb? It's your actions. If you go out here and cuss, what you're saying is, I worship Satan, because God's asked you not to. If you go out of here and do something that's ungodly, do you realize you're worshiping Satan? You're following Satan because he's deceived you. Worship's a verb. We go out of here testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ and living unto him. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, here's what's going to happen. He tells the earth, if you do take this, excuse me, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Do you know what that means? How much power does God Almighty have? It means he will unleash all the powers that he has against you. We have not seen the power of Almighty God. We've never seen it. But he says that's exactly what's going to happen if you take that mark of the beast. He goes on to say, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. That's exactly what's going to happen to those people that take the mark of the beast. That's what's going to happen to people who do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior today. And the smoke of their torment, he's telling the people this. This angel is flying over. Good message. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's what's going to happen to you. Don't take the mark. And they're going to line people up. And the soldiers are going to be standing there. And they're going to, you're fifth from the front. And suddenly they say, will you take the mark of the beast? No! And you step up one. Will you take the mark of the beast? No! And you step up one. No, that can wear on you. If you wouldn't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior now, you certainly wouldn't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior then. And we also know that there's that people who have heard now will not have an opportunity to be saved in the tribulation. You're not going to do it. The 1 Thessalonians tells us you won't have that opportunity. Here is the patience of the saints. Here it is again. See, people are reading this even on the earth. They know what's going on. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. God puts us in there to comfort them, to show them everything is going to be all right. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed is the Lord, the ones who die early in the tribulation and not go through the tribulation. And then maybe just before the tribulation get caught and have their head cut off. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. It's time to reap. How many of you are farmers? Okay, it's time to reap. I grew up in a farm labor camp. I lived in a boxcar along the side of a railroad track. And we did all kinds of crops. But on a fruit crop, you have 14 days to get it in. Once it hits a certain sugar point, if it's like grapes or something like that, you've got 14 days to get it in. You're out there harvesting. You're out there reaping. And God uses just about every way possible. If you're a farmer, if you raise cattle, if you raise sheep, if you are a store clerk, no matter what it is, he's got it here so you can understand it. And I looked and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. He was the Son of Man. Having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. It's time to reap the earth. It's time to come down now, he says. And let's get ready to thrust our sickle in. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time... excuse me. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It's ready. It's ready. Remember he said there'll be no more time. Halfway through the tribulation, for time is no more. He says it's time to reap the earth. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel which came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. He's going to come down and reap the earth at the battle of Armageddon. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Remember those in chapter 1, the feet of God, that of Jesus, that burned with brass, and it was molten and it was bright. And as it's thrown in, he's tramping out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And the blood will flow to the horses' bridles. It'll take 1.2 billion people for that to happen. For there to be enough blood for the valley of Jezreel. And so that's exactly what's going to happen. Showing this as a future. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even into the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs, 200 miles wide, 200 miles long, 10 to 20 miles wide. It's going to come to the horses' bridles, which is somewhere around 4 to 4.5 feet. It'll take 1.2 billion people for that blood. This is what's going to happen. He's telling the earth, do not take the mark of the beast. This is what's going to happen. The angels are ready. It's going to be thrust in. Chapter 15, the announcements of the seven vials. Now, the seven seals were pretty bad, but mostly it was Antichrist coming and taking the earth and setting up his kingdom for 42 months. The worst thing that happened is a great earthquake that destroyed everything in the earth as far as, roads and shipping and gas pipes and electric and electrical grids and things like that. They're all gone. That's why people are fighting now with horses and swords, because everything else is useless. All the mechanized armies are down. There's no highways. There's no fuel oil. There's nothing to actually run them. No electricity. Then we come to the trumpets. That's the announcement. Get off my property, Satan. And Satan says no. He sends the trumpets, and that is mostly against the earth. But now God says, I'm going to go against the people that have taken the mark of the beast. I'm going to go against them because they're the ones that are squatting on the property. They're the ones that are taking up residence. They're the ones that will not move. They're the ones that have neglected God Almighty, Jesus Christ, his Savior. So we have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and now the seven vials. I believe the seven vials are just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ because the earth is in such hideous condition. I don't think that it could last another year. I don't think it's a year before. I think it's just before. And so each one of these are terrible. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. For them is filled up the wrath of God. Could you imagine the wrath of God? Can you imagine? I saw a picture one time of a woman when two guys tried to kidnap her baby. She wailed on them and beat both of them to a pulp. And she was a little tiny woman. You don't mess with a lady's baby, amen? I mean, they thought, hey, we're big, strong men. She just cut them down to size real quick. The wrath of God. How much wrath can God have being God? Even more than hell. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now notice, when you see a sea of glass, it's talking about people. It's talking about people. When you see a very tranquil, a very smooth, like crystal, it means everything is fine. Everything is all right. There's no problems. In the book of Psalms, when you see that the sea drags up the muck and the mire, that's problems and all kinds of trouble. Sea is of humanity. That's why the priest was to be taken out of the sea. In other words, out of humanity. The beast is going to come out of humanity and so forth. And so a sea of glass mingled with fire. Mingled with fire because they've gone through some trouble. They've gone through some terrible, terrible times, and it's been a hard, hard go for them during the tribulation. And them that had gotten victory over the beast, these are those that have come out of the tribulation, and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on a sea of glass having harps of God. And so not only the 144,000 have been killed, he's been catching people all over the place and beheading them, killing them. And now they're in heaven, and they're on a sea of glass, and everything's all right. Everything's okay. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Now, we have the song of Moses in the Bible. I'm not sure it's the same one. And the song of the Lamb. I don't know what the song of the Lamb is. We don't have it, but we will one day. Saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to seem awful ridiculous that we fought over a house or had to have a certain car or, you know, just had to have power or got back at somebody. It's going to seem so ridiculous one of these days when we get to heaven. One of these days, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Everyone's going to come, even the unsaved, and claim that they were wrong. They'll know that they're wrong. And after that, I looked, behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The first one, the seals came from the ark. The seals came from the throne. Then we have the trumpets coming from the altar of incense. And now we have the Holy of Holies opened in heaven. The Holy of Holies in the temple is opened in heaven. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. This is the robes of a priest, but not the royal robes. It's the working robes of the priest, or the priest would wear around the temple. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. This is the wrath of God. And the temple was filled with smoke. No one is going to go in and grab the horns of the altar. There were times when somebody would run in, when God would have a plague, they'd run in and bow down and say, oh God, please don't do these things. David did it. Others did it. And this time, no one's going to be able to open the temple. No one's going to be able to go in the temple because it's going to be so full of smoke that no one can enter in. That means these plagues cannot be stopped. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple. No one can plead their case. No one can go there and say, oh God, stop it, till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Chapter 16, the seven vials are poured out. what a devastating thing is going to happen on the earth now. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there was a noisome and grievous sore upon men. I want you to notice that Moses, during the time of Moses, remember those plagues that he did, a grievous and sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshipped his image. People who did not have the mark of the beast, they're not going to have this happen to them. Just like in Goshen, the Jews didn't have it happen, but the Egyptians did have it happen to them. And so those people that have the mark of the beast, suddenly great boils are going to come up all over them from the soles of their feet to the top of their head, open sores all over them. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And that's different than a sea turning to blood and the blood of a dead man. A blood of a dead man is coagulated. The blood of a dead man stinks. A blood of a dead man is totally different than the blood or the fresh blood that was in the ocean before. And it came the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Every single creature in the ocean dies because it becomes as the blood of a dead man, very thickened. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. All the water on the earth now is becoming blood, not just one third of it as before, but all the waters. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and what and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. There'll be nothing but blood to drink. Now you can live on drinking blood. In Kenya, Africa, some missionary friends of mine tell me that when they're out in the desert parts there and they have their cows with them, if they can't find water, they will drink cow's blood. You can live on it for a while. But there's a reason that God's given them blood to drink. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. All the people that received the mark of the beast and worship Satan, they're saying, kill those Christians, get rid of those Christians. Well, that's what they deserve then. You see, they will not accept God. They will not accept Jesus Christ. And so the thing that was for Satan, that punishment that was for Satan, you realize, of course, that hell was not made for people. It was made for Satan and his angels. But who does not take Jesus Christ as Savior will also go there. God not willing that any should perish. Doesn't want anybody to go there. Notice that last word. They are worthy. They are worthy. Because they have shed the blood of saints. They've laughed at Christians. They've killed them all the day long. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. 105, 110, 115, 120, 125, 129. In Needles, California, it reached 129 when my wife and myself and my three children were there. 129, and it wasn't a record. 131 is the record there. And we like to died. I mean, our car wouldn't run. We pulled over and had to go in an air-conditioned place just to wait it out. I mean, it was terrible. Have you ever been in heat above 110? You know what I'm talking about. Ah, yeah. If you've been to California around Bakersfield, around there, you've been in 110, 115. But this is. Let me see. Meat cooks real well at what, 140? About 100. Now remember, these people have sores all over them. They're drinking blood. They have fire. The sun is cooking everything around them. And men were scorched with a great heat and blasphemed. They didn't say, God, we're sorry. They've already taken the mark. Their mind's set. The word reprobate mind means their mind is set to a focal point and cannot move off of it. And so it says their name is, they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They're still glorifying Satan. They're still worshiping Satan. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, not just because of the darkness, but because of the boils and the sores and all the other things that are going on. You see, this is attack mainly is on people. It's not like the others. It's not on the waters. It's not in the trees and the grass. This attack is on people because God says, it's my earth and I'm cleaning it up and I'm sending my armies in and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores and repented not of their deeds. They're not going to repent. And the sixth thing is he'll pour out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Now, remember the first time we saw the Euphrates blocked up, it was for the ungodly or those demon army of 200 million. This time it's for the kings of the east. It's for the countries of the east to come to the battle of Armageddon. The whole world now is going to send armies to the battle of Armageddon because of Satan. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Here comes China. Here comes all those kingdoms of the east coming towards Jerusalem to destroy the Jews, to fight God Almighty at the battle of Armageddon. And I saw three unclean spirits. Don't you like my frogs? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Like those, huh? I tried to get them where they weren't in unison, but I guess it's okay. Frogs, of course, denote one of the gods of Egypt. Remember when Egypt, one of the plagues that Moses had was frogs, and they were in the kneading troughs, they were in the bed, they were everywhere. Well, that's because they worshipped frogs because of the Nile. They worshipped, of course, crocodiles, they worshipped the Nile, they worshipped frogs, they worshipped a lot of things. And so God says, you want to worship frogs? We'll just fill your whole country full of frogs. Well, the frogs are unclean spirits, are denoted as unclean spirits. It's a throwback to the Egyptians. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, not necessarily frogs, but like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. So they open their mouths, and these three ungodly spirits come out of each one of their mouths. Now, Satan, of course, is the head of the Trinity, Satanic Trinity, the beast, and then the false prophet. And these frogs come out of their mouths, for they are spirits of devils working miracles. You want to control people? Just do some miracles. Throw your Bible down on the ground. You don't need it. Just do some miracles. They'll follow you. I mean, show somebody. It's like gambling. Just show them a winner once every 6 or 7 months, and people will give their money to the government. You don't have to get it from them. You know, gambling is the most ridiculous thing in the world. You have one in, what was it, 500 and some million chance of winning? Duh. It's for people who can't count. You can go to Vegas and get one out of 19 instead of one out of 500 and some million. Don't go to Vegas either. In Vegas, they call people from out of town, they call the city Lost Wages. Not Las Vegas, they call it Lost Wages. For they are spirits of devils working miracles. These frogs are coming out of their mouths. They're going to go throughout the world and tell people, come on down, we're fighting against God Almighty. We're going against it. We're going to show him once for all. Watch this. And they're going to have fire come down out of heaven. People are going to go, wow, he must be godly. Look what he just did. You know, that's how people judge godliness. How much money do you have? Well, you must be godly because God's really blessed you. Oh, well, you can do miracles. God must really be with you. Oh, well, you have wisdom. God must be really with you. You have education. God must be really with you. It's not true. It's a lie. You see, God's with those people that follow him through the scriptures. And they may be dirt poor. I mean, Paul didn't have a whole lot. Jesus had nothing but his cloak. And look at the apostles. They all died penniless. I guess none of them were very religious, were they? We've got the wrong idea. But notice, working miracles which goeth forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That's the battle of Armageddon. They're going out, they're getting the armies, they're bringing them in, and they're showing them miracles. They're duping them into believing that they can win this war. And they're not going to. Behold, I come as a thief. Here's another one of those little respites, you know, just a little thing. He says, behold, I come as a thief. Now, get ready, he says. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. God just puts this in there so that we'll know he's still on the throne. He's still in the saving business. Everything's going to be all right. And he gathereth them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. It's in the Valley of Jezreel. The Valley of Jezreel is located, here's the Salton Sea, of course, the Jordan River. Jerusalem is right here. And this is the area of the Valley of Armageddon. Actually, it's the Valley of Jezreel. Armageddon is there. Sisera was killed here. Josiah was killed here. In 1823, when Turkey lost this property, they lost 30,000 men in one battle right there. In one battle, that's when they lost the territory. And, of course, Azariah was killed here by Jehu. A lot of things happened here. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Now, you've got blood all in the water. People are drinking blood. You can't drink the ocean water. It's coagulated. There's sores all over. The sun's beating down. There's every kind of problem under the sun. The food is not there anymore. And the seventh angel poured his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It's the last plague. It's over with. It's done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Here we go again, the fifth earthquake. This earth is all shaken, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The whole earth is shaken. It's not just like one of the other earthquakes. This is the greatest earthquake. And the great city was divided into three parts. That, of course, is Jerusalem. The great city is divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon. Notice, the nation cities fell, but Jerusalem is divided into three parts. It doesn't fall. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That's Babylon. God's been holding back. God, when are you going to avenge us of our death? When are you going to avenge us of our blood? Remember what they cried under the altar there on the fifth seal in chapter 6? Lord, how long? He's getting ready. The fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled and the mountains were not found. All of a sudden, all the mountains collapse. Can you imagine? All the Rockies now, it's just level. And all the Sierra Nevadas and the coastal range, the Appalachians and the Swiss Alps, they're all level. It also says the islands fled away. That means Hawaii sinks and the Galapagos sinks and all the islands of the ocean sink. They're gone. They're gone. They're not there anymore. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talon. Now you have three different types of talon. You have a light talon, and a heavy talon. It goes from 66 pounds to about 122 pounds. It doesn't make any difference, even at 66 pounds, if it's coming out of heaven at about 200 miles an hour. Then there's not much hope for you to live through it. And so the weight of a talon, and men blasphemed, there it is, God, because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. This is all over the earth. Men are hiding under things and trying to get out of the way of these huge hailstones coming from God. That's the seven plagues. Those plagues poured upon the earth as blood poured upon the earth. The attack on men. Chapter 17, Ecclesiastical Babylon. Ecclesia, used 116 times in the Bible, 114 times it refers to the church. Ecclesia means church, and so it's a call-out assembly. Now, Ecclesiastical Babylon, here in chapter 17 and in chapter 18, it's commercial Babylon. God just wants to go back and explain to us what was wrong with with Babylon and the governments of Babylon. This is during this time. We're right here now. We're right at the end. But God's going to go back and show us a little bit about Babylon, or this great Babylon that was set up by Satan. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. God uses the right terminology, because in the Old Testament, Israel, when they went away from God, they were known as a whore. In the Old Testament, the Jews were married to Israel. In the New Testament, Gentiles are betrothed, and the wedding is in chapter 19 of the book of the Revelation. So we commit fornication, and in the Old Testament, they commit adultery. That's why you see the word fornication is prevalent in the New Testament, especially in the book of the Revelation. It says, seven angels which had the seven vials talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show unto the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. She sits upon water. All the people of the earth, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. If you're Catholic, I love you, but I don't like your doctrine. There has been no religion on the face of the earth that have killed more Christians than the Catholic Church. I made that statement one time, and this Catholic person got up, and she was mad. She was burned up. You make a statement like that. You can't say that. She left. She went home on her computer and typed in Inquisition, and she came back and apologized and says, I did not believe you, but look what it says. Before 1952, it's been taken out of most of your encyclopedias and things now. Before 1952, find an encyclopedia, just look up Inquisition. Look at Germany, where they killed 1.5 million people in a period of somewhere around 60 years because they would not bow to the Pope. They would not claim the Pope was the vicar of God upon the face of the earth. There's been a great rivalry between the Catholic Church and true Christians. Great rivalry. And that's why we say drunken with the wine of her fornication. I believe that the Catholic Church is the one that's going to sit on as far as the seven hills. Satan's throne is going to be there. I don't think it's only going to be Catholics that Satan uses. I believe he'll use that place because it's the focal point of the world. They call Rome the eternal city, don't they? It's not the eternal city. Jerusalem is. Rome's never been the eternal city anywhere in the Bible. It's not there. But yet they claim it's the eternal city, and Jerusalem is not. You listen to the Catholic Church, you'll find out that Rome is the major city and not Jerusalem. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. He says, I want to show you these things as they take place. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Now, of course, the beast, that's the kings. The whore, that's the religion. She's going to sit upon this beast, and she's going to be the focal point of the religion. But Satan doesn't like that. Satan wants all the power and glory for himself. He doesn't like a religious system, so she'll be done away with shortly. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. The richest religion in the world is the Catholic Church. They have more money in artwork than most countries have. Just the artwork. We were in Hungary, and a fellow says, "I want to take you into a church, a Catholic church." I said, "Well, okay." And we went into a Catholic church, and everybody talks real quiet, don't they, in a Catholic church? You ever wonder why they do that? I don't know. But anyway, we walked in, and you could buy a candle. You could buy a candle and light it for $5 and get somebody out of hell, you know, maybe. And anyway, we walked in, and there was gold all over the front. And you know what? It was real gold. When you see gold in the Catholic Church, it's not painted. Those crosses are real gold, and those statues. Now, the statue, of course, is a statue, and it has that thin gold laid over it, but it's gold. Very, very expensive. And they leave it open day and night. Nobody dare go into a Catholic church and steal something because they're afraid that that something will happen to them, something bad will happen to them. Why don't you put a gold statue up here and leave the church open for a week and see what happens? Oh, never mind. We're Baptists. Anyway, it's gold. They have so much money. It's just really pitiful. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Rome is known as the harlot, known as the Jezebel, known as the one that others come out from her. Law resigned as Archbishop of Boston. Maybe you've heard about this in December 2002. The Catholic Church is full of gays. Well, let me just call it like we do in San Francisco, queers. They're full of it. I mean, it's ridiculous how many child molesters, pedophiles, queers, and everything else is in the Catholic Church. You say, "Oh, Brother James, you're making a blanket statement." No, that's what the government makes. In Toledo, Ohio, I pastored there for 5 years, and a declaration came out after 22 priests were found molesting boys and putting porno on the internet of the children in their schools. Then they were told that you go in to protect the priest from any further lawsuits, you listen to the priest, but never let your children be alone with the priest. Can you imagine that? This is Law. He's the Archbishop of Boston, but he's not in Boston anymore. He's fled to Rome because he was under indictment and getting ready to go to jail. And when a priest or an archbishop or a cardinal, there's over 300 of them that are in Rome right now, and they can't come back to the United States or other countries because they'll be thrown in jail for everything from pornography to pedophilia and so forth. But it says, after unsealed court records reveal that he had moved predatory clergy among parishioners without alerting parents that their children were at risk. More than 550 people have filed abuse claims in Boston in recent years, and the Archdiocese paid more than $85 million in settlements. Law has fled to Rome to escape prosecution. That's in the New York Times. Toledo priest charged in the murder of a nun. He's on trial right now. They have a satanic worship in the bottom of one of the churches there in Toledo. While I was pastoring there, they found out about this. They had a nun. They had her tied to the altar. They were doing all kinds of chants and things around her. One priest got a little carried away, took a crucifix and put it right through her heart. He's on trial now for murder. He's on trial. Pope Benedict will take no action in priest child molestation. That's because he's under indictment himself. Did you know that? Well, I'll show you the thing. 4,562 priests are charged in molesting boys in the last 30 years. Satan worship in Toledo Catholic Church, that's out of the Blade. You can go to the Blade and find all this. So he's on trial right now. The trial just started, and it's about the satanic worship and everything. These are pictures of some of the cardinals that cannot come back to America anymore. They have fled to Rome. They live in Rome now. Rome's its own country. They have no extradition here. If they come back to America, they will be put in jail. And these are cardinals of the Catholic Church. Pope Benedict will take no action in priest child molestation cases. That's New York Times. Justice Department says Pope Benedict immune from legal action in sex abuse case. They want him back here in America for sex abuse. They will try him and put him in jail, but he's a leader of another country, and therefore he's immune, and they can no longer touch him. And upon their forehead, this is Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Notice mystery, because it's not actually Babylon as it was in the time of Nebuchadnezzar or others, but it's this new type of Babylon, this ungodly, what's known as the whore of Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. No religion on the face of the earth, not even Muslims, have killed more Christians than the Catholic Church. You go. I want you to go and look up Inquisition. It will shock you what they did. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. I'm going to tell you about this woman. I'm going to describe it to you. Don't have to go anywhere else. Nobody has to guess about it. The beast that thou saw was and is not. Now notice, was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell in the earth shall wonder. This is the Roman Empire, or after the Roman Empire. Now notice, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now that's interesting. We'll get to that in just a minute. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There's only one place in the world today that's a religious center that claims to be the eternal city, that claims to be the vicar of Christ on the face of the earth, that claims to be only God's church, and that's Rome. There is no other place. It's Rome. Pope Paul II. They said he was senile when he made these speeches. It was put in a few newspapers. New York Times carried it. Washington Post carried it. A few others carried it. And then they carried it one time, and that was it. And it was usually way back on the pages. This is the Pope's speech. And they said he was senile when he made it. Didn't know what he was doing, but he did. Vatican City RNN correspondent, March the 13th, 2000. In an unprecedented moment in the history of the church, Pope John Paul II asked God's forgiveness Sunday for sins of the Roman Catholic Church through the ages, including wrongs inflicted on Jews, women, minorities, and Christians. This is a pope telling the priest how to hang someone, how to fillet their back alive, how to shoot them through with darts, and how to boil them in oil to get them to claim that the pope is the vicar of God upon the face of the earth. This is out of the Catholic Church. This isn't somebody else's. This is the Catholic Church. The church burned heretics, the Christians at the stake, during the Inquisition. Jews were looked upon as animals by the Catholic Church and given no rights under the Inquisition. Remember, the Hitler said that in his book, Mein Kampf, that Jews were not as far advanced in evolution as, of course, the Aryan race. Now, here's a real tickly situation that you get into if you're an evolutionist. And I've done this in a couple of debates. And let me tell you, the tension really gets rough and you get thrown in jail. But if you believe in evolution, then white people are more advanced and evolved than black people. It's as simple as that. Brother James. That's right. But God says evolution is wrong. We're all created by God. But that's the conclusion of evolution. Hitler taught evolution. Hitler quoted evolutionists more than he quoted any other person in Mein Kampf and in his speeches, that the Aryan race would take over the world and it was wrong and you could be killed for intermarrying with anybody else to dilute the genes and chromosomes. Of course, they didn't know about genes and chromosomes then. But he said that that they had a superior race and that race was going to be the leadership of the world. By the way, the Catholic Church teaches evolution. The last pope, Pope John Paul, said that the Catholic Church stands upon evolution as Darwin taught it. Here's what they do. They say that monkeys grew into men and men and men, and you go through all the different Homo sapiens and Homo sapiens erectus and so forth, bipedal motion and so forth, until you come to someone with 1,600 cc's of brain capacity. God chose two, a female and a male, and gave them a soul. That's exactly what they teach. Exactly what they teach. The Catholic Church is evolutionist. Ask any Catholic. Ask a Catholic priest. They're evolutionist, exactly like Hitler. Hitler and them had a lot of things in common. In November of 1998, the Pope requested a thorough look into the Inquisition, a centuries-long campaign to stamp out heresy, this is still in the New York Times, that burned tens of thousands of Christians at the stake. During the Inquisition, tens of thousands, it's not tens of thousands, it's tens of millions, Christians were killed if they did not recognize the Pope as the vicar of God on the earth and the Catholic Church as the only way of salvation. They've never changed. If you're not baptized a Catholic, a member of the Catholic Church, you're going to hell, no matter what any priest says. That's the dogma of the Catholic Church. Hitler honoring Catholic cardinals and bishops is the only church Hitler allowed in Germany or in any of the nations that he took over, was the Catholic Church. There's a reason for this, because Hitler was blessed by the Catholic priests in his honors. Catholic bishops here giving honor to Hitler with the Nazi salute. He meets with the senior cardinal of Rome. Hitler, a Catholic, worshipped at the Church of Our Lady in Nuremberg. This is where he took his SS troops. There he is coming out. He took his SS troops in front of that church to start his party, claiming that he was Catholic and that the Catholic Church would make it where they would be honored into the leadership of the world. How many of you have ever heard that? It's history. It's history. I mean, the pictures and everything. You can find these books in the library if you just look. It's not taught in schools anymore. It's not taught in colleges anymore. If you go up to about 1948, 1949, this is in the history books. But, people don't like to hear these kind of things. The Catholic Church supported Hitler in the extermination of Jews. In all the concentration camps and all of the different Catholic churches interwove all through Hitler's Germany, the Catholic priests all knew what he was doing in killing Jews. Not one priest, not one bishop, not one cardinal, not one pope ever opposed the extermination of the Jews. There's a book that came out last year. It's The Defense of the Popes, in that how they tried to stop and use political terms and so forth to stop Hitler. But it's not true. It's not true. Pope Benedict. Pope meets with Muslims, Vatican City, AP. A day after reaching out to other Christians and to Jews in his installation mass, Pope Benedict, see, they're reaching out to Jews now. They never did that before the last pope. They never did that. In the installation mass, Pope Benedict met Monday with members of the Muslim community, assuring them that the church wanted to continue building bridges of friendship that he could foster peace in the world. You got to get the Muslims. You got to get the Christians. You got to get all the Jews together for the Holy Land so that you can build that temple. Now, is the Pope going to be the Antichrist? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know that he is. But they will use this religion. They will use this religion to do exactly what Antichrist and Satan wants to do. Now, remember what it says in chapter 10. This is an explanation of a verse before. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is. And the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now notice, it says, seven kings. There are seven kings right here. Now, there's eight because these two are the same. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. So we have the Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Greece. Now reigns the Roman Empire. So five have fallen. And the other, and one is, that's Antichrist. And the other is not yet come. That's the beast to come. And he must continue a short space. That's 42 months. And the beast that was and is not, that's the beast that was and is not, is of the seventh and goeth into, he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition. So we have the Antichrist with the deadly wound. The beast is going to embody the Antichrist. So these two are the same. And so the first is also the seventh is also the eighth, and the eighth is also the seventh. And that's Antichrist and beast. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. It's going to be like the Roman government. Roman government was based on 10 different nations, a 10-country federation. And that's how he's going to set up his. Which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receiveth power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. Very short time, just at the end of the tribulation, because these frogs have to go out. They have to gather them together, get them all together. The Antichrist has 42 months, but it's only going to be in the very last part of the tribulation that he finally gets everything together. These have one mind. Now, these are the kings. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, they're going to hate the religious system or the whore. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So that water she sits on, there's the water, there's the beast, which is the government, and there's her, which is the religious system. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. the government suddenly will say, we don't want this religious system. We want to do away with it. We don't want Satan's priests. We don't want Satan's preachers. We want Satan. And so they're going to destroy the whore, and Satan will be the focal point of their religion. They shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They want Satan and nothing in between. No go-betweens. For God hath put it in their hearts. Who did? God put it in their hearts to do exactly His will. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Boy, Satan wants that worship. Do you know that? Above all things. I've got 5 grandchildren and 1 on the way. And I want them to think I'm the best person in the world. I give them candy, spoil them, then send them home. That's right. I want them to think, boy, Grandpa. I've got little Abigail. She's 3 years old. And she runs as hard as she can, and I'll grab her and throw her up in the air, you know. Don't let go of her, but put her up in the air. And she goes, Grandpa, Grandpa. And she hugs me real good. The others don't do that anymore. You know, they're a little older. And I'll say, David, he's 7. I'll say, David, give me a kiss. Oh, Grandpa, you know. Well, you used to. Every once in a while, I take him to school. And I'll say, okay, get out. Give me a kiss. And they'll just walk on in. They don't. I don't understand that. God hath put it in their hearts. See, God's orchestrating everything. It's okay. Everything's going to be fine. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It's Rome. Heaven or hell? Think about it for a minute. Where are you headed? You've heard the word of God, and therefore if the rapture took place right now, there's no way that you could be saved. Because the Bible says you'll believe a lie. Strong delusions will be sent and you'll believe a lie. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says the Lord's coming back in the twinkling of an eye, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye means the refraction of light off of the eyeball. 182,000 miles per second. 182,000 miles per second. That's how fast Christians are taken off from this earth. You won't have time to get saved. Boom, it's gone. They're all gone. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Listen, Christian. Look up here just a minute. You know somebody that needs to get saved, don't you? There's not a person in here that doesn't have somebody on their heart or on their mind that needs to be saved. Now, imagine them going through this. Just imagine them going through all the trouble, all the things that God has lined up for those people that don't believe. And if the Lord came back tonight, right now, they would go through that. Everyone here has what's called a sphere of influence. You have people around you that know you and that you're acquainted with, and that's your sphere of influence. Everyone here has a different sphere of influence. There's people here that know certain people, and other people here in the church don't know them. You're the only one that can lead them to the Lord. You're the only one. There's nobody else. I believe my aunt is the only one that could witness to me. Anybody else, I would have kicked them out of the house. But my aunt was very special to me. And so I listened to her. I didn't like it, but I listened to her. There's people like that that you know. They'll listen to you. The preacher goes out, he's just a preacher, I'm not going to listen to him. But if you walk out and talk to him, it's a little different. Will you witness to him? Will you come to an old-fashioned altar and pour your heart out before God and say, God, give me the opportunity to witness to them this week. This week, Lord, just give me the strength, give me the courage to go out and witness them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. I have never stopped thanking my aunt. That's been almost 40 years ago. Well, 38 years ago. Every time I talk to her, I say, thank you, LaVon, for caring about me and getting me saved. Thank you so much. Why? Because, you see, I realized what hell could be like. And I realized what the tribulation could be like. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God will give you the faith to be saved by. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's just very simple. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. Now notice the last one. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize that children can get saved with the gospel? And sometimes adults stumble over it because we have so much baggage of what we think and what we want to think. I remember philosophy classes in college. I went to Bakersfield College before I was saved. In philosophy or in psychology, in my psychology classes, in California, they bashed God every time they had a chance. Everything was against God. I went in probably an agnostic and came out a full-fledged atheist. But I tell you something, one of the simplest verses in the Bible was given to one of the most intelligent men of the Bible. Remember a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews? And God said to him, Jesus said to him, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Huh? It's very simple to get saved. It's not hard. You have to know that you're a sinner. You have to know that you're turning from your sins. You have to repent.